Good to see everybody here this evening. Hope everybody has had a good day today. It's I always struggle with this particular day. I'm tired most of the time anyway, it seems like. But to get an hour less sleep, I was struggling to get up at 7:20 this morning, and it's still dark out there, as y'all well know. So I'm glad that we're past this day. I'm looking forward to the week where we can just kind of get back to normalcy again. Hope you've had a good day. I think that it is important as Christians that we have a good first day of the week. I think it's vital for us to anticipate it, to look forward to it, to appreciate and enjoy our service to God. And it's that very service I want to continue talking about this evening, that with the question, are we serious about our service to God? Is it something that really hits at our heart, or is it just something that we kind of make a pass at from time to time? I don't think there's any question that all of us at different times in our life will, it's just all we can do just to kind of maintain a little bit. and we all are familiar with those times. I'm not sure that we're not actually more pleasing to God during that time if we are making the extra effort just to do what we can do. But I do think that it's important that we not just make an extra effort, but that we make every effort. And that's what we want to look at tonight, because when we talk about a serious service to God, we are, in fact, talking about an extra effort. We were talking at lunch today, some different ones about the state of just the world in general. It seems like there's a lot of things that are going on that are concerning. I think about some of the things that are happening would have been unthinkable when I was a child. For one reason, some of the things that they say exist today weren't even thought of yet. it's just we're inventing genders, and we're inventing laws to cover the invented genders, and we're watching people that we elect act like children. They don't like each other. They hate each other. And it's kind of interesting, because it's when you get to that level, you think, well, the whole nation is divided, but it's not. It's those who are struggling for power who are divided. But these are things that we need to be thinking about, and we need to be on guard. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32, in 1 Chronicles 12, we have essentially the end of a civil war, or at least a civil war is starting to end. It's the civil war between those who had followed Saul and those who had followed David. And now the different tribes are coming to David, and they are literally pledging their allegiance to their new king. But I really like verse 32. It talks about men of Issachar who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. When we talk about are we serious, one of the things that we really need to be conscious of is what's going on and how it affects the church. I think sometimes we get maybe carried away with all the different physical things that are going on in the physical world, but I also think there are times that we don't take it serious enough, and we don't see the danger. We don't see what's happening, and we don't see how the holiness of the church is being compromised in different areas. The men of Issachar understood that it was time to make David king. It was time to unite, that David was, in fact, the Lord's chosen. And so by saying that they understood the times and knew what Israel should do, they were coming to David and they were pledging their service to him if it meant dying for David. And in some instances, certainly it did. And so this is a big thing for us to understand the times. And so part of making sure that we are serious about our service is to understand what's going on around us. I think another part that's very important is that we not be dragged down into the depths of depression or to get caught up with everything that is going on, because we can do something to change it. I don't know how many times I've looked at things and they're really, really concerning, and then it finally dawns on me some of these things are just too big for me. And that has become one of my prayers on a fairly regular basis. This is too big for me. Please take care of what I can't. And I'm absolutely convinced that we have to do our part in our serious service to God. But I also realize we don't have to do everything. We just have to take care of our little corner that we're in of this world. And that'll radiate out. That's enough. That's all anybody can do. Even a missionary, when he goes overseas, he's in another corner of the world taking care of the corner he's at. The only thing we can do is take care of where we're at. But we must take care of where we're at. We have to be serious about our service to God. Moses talked about that in the 90th Psalm. That's the only psalm attributed to Moses, but it's a good one. In the 90th Psalm, starting in verse 10, Moses says this, through inspiration, "The length of our days is 70 years, or 80, if we have the strength." Now, we're very blessed, are we not? We have a pretty good percentage of our congregation who has made it not only past 70, but past 80. We're very blessed in that. God has blessed us in many, many different ways. "The length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength, yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away." I am sometimes stunned to think about just things back in my childhood and think it didn't seem that long ago. Maybe it's because I still act childish and so childhood didn't seem that far away. But for those of us of my era or before, do the 60s really seem 50 years ago? I mean, it just doesn't. Time goes by quickly. And I think maybe to a certain extent we should be grateful for that. As a matter of fact, we should be grateful because that's the way God makes it. But there is trouble and sorrow in our lifetimes. God knew that would be part of the test. And I believe one of the reasons that we need to be serious is because God wants to find out if we're serious, thus the test. And so Moses said, "Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." So as we talk about this seriousness, the question is, are we numbering our days correctly? I think about that from time to time as I go through things. The length of our days is 70 years. Well, that's less than 12 years away for me. 80 is about 22 years. I'm pleased with whatever God gives me. Don't get me wrong. If I die today, God, I have not been cheated. But it does go by quickly. And one of the things that I do believe we need to be really serious about is, are we taking care of the important things right now? Or are we just kind of making time? Are we just taking care of the physical things and putting out the physical fires? Because the physical things will always be here. People always will need to eat. People will always need to have homes to live in. People will always need certain physical things. And if all we do is the physical, if it's just a pursuit of the physical, then we kind of lose sight of what we're here for. And so part of being serious about our service before God is to understand that there is a physical boundary that God has placed upon us. And even if we exceed that physical boundary by a few years, it's just a few years. Time goes by quickly. And so are we serious about it? Are we making the most of our time? And going back to this idea of being concerned about the times we live in, well, I think that we should be concerned with the sinful areas, and we should also be concerned with what we can do to do our part. I also think this. Most of us are familiar with General MacArthur's quote, "Our finest hours are yet to come." But that wasn't all he had in that. Here's the a more fuller quote. "Our finest hours are yet to come," says this man who was a warrior for many years, who was assigned the heavy task of actually putting men in harm's way who died fighting for their country, a man who really understood the brevity of life. "Our finest hours are yet to come. Let us regain some of the courage and faith of the architects who charted the course to our past greatness. Let us look as befits the most powerful nation on earth, both spiritually and physically." Well, we're starting to forfeit some of that. As far as the most powerful nation on earth, we're starting to forfeit some of our spiritual leadership in this world because we have gotten involved with too many other things. I don't know if it's a lack of trust that God will take care of the physical things or if it's just that we've got so many distractions or whatever it is. But we need to be concerned as a spiritual people with the spiritual things in life. If even a general is talking about, just look back at the start of our nation and look at the architects of the nation and look what they were concerned with. They were not concerned with building a superpower. They were concerned with being a spiritual people. They didn't have everything down right. But they did have this spiritual nature. They did have this recognition that God was in charge. Sometimes I'm afraid that churches get involved with so many different things, they forget what their mission is, to seek and save the lost. One of the privileges about worshiping here has been that that does seem to still be the focus. But we need to understand that unless we decide it, or decide otherwise, our finest hours really are yet to come. Because there are people, if we take our service to God seriously, that we're going to be able to help come to Christ. What could be more important for somebody who is not a Christian than to become a Christian? And therefore, what greater mission could we have than to help somebody become a Christian? But we won't do that if we're not serious about our service or if we get distracted with too many physical things. Again, we live in a physical world, but we cannot allow that to distract us from what God wants us to do. In Proverbs 16:3, a familiar passage to everybody, it simply says, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed." I like that, but it's more than a verse just on success. The success part is God's part. The committing our plans to God is our part. He'll take care of the success as far as how successful we need to be from a spiritual standpoint and even a physical standpoint. But we have to commit ourselves to God, and that commitment requires an absolute seriousness and determination to serve God to the best of our ability. And again, the question is, are we serious about our service to God? Are we willing to give a lifetime of commitment to Him? In James chapter 1 and verse 22, one that I think both Guy and Justin have brought up recently, if I'm not mistaken, it may have been somebody else, but do not merely, oh, it's Clay. And I think some of the other ones as well, but it says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Sometimes passages become so familiar to us that they just kind of blend in. I've read James before. I've read this passage before, and I just kind of skip over it. But when he says, "Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but to do what it says," he points out the vitalness of our taking our service seriously. It's not just finding out what God has to say, but it's doing it. I remember specifically Rebecca, but before that, AJ were running the 400 in a mile relay. If you're not familiar with the 400, it's meters now. It used to be 400-yard dash, or the 440, I guess is what it was called before this. But in the mile relay, it's four of them, and a different person runs each one. But they're running 440 yards or 400 meters. And it takes a woman, a good athletic woman, about 60 seconds to run that, and it's a sprint. It takes an athletic guy maybe 50 seconds to do that, and it's a full sprint. There is no race that's worse than this race. 100-yard dash, you're over with three times faster than the 400, and you can catch your breath, but not the 400. I used to talk to AJ about that because about his third year, I actually started paying attention to track. I did not understand that track was a sport until then, and he came home and he had another gold medal for the mile relay from district. Well, district, if you can't get the gold medal in the mile relay, you're really not trying, because this is a district filled with turtles and always has been. I shouldn't say that. Always has been, because I understand Happy used to be a little different, and they're changing that as well. But at that time, it was a district full of turtles. And I said, "Don't you want to run your senior year and do that?" He said, "No, I don't want to do that. That's the worst race in the world." He felt physically ill after it. I can remember watching Rebecca run that. And she looked so effortless in doing it. We've got pictures of her, and she just looks serene. But at the end of the race, she looks anything but serene at the end of the 400. She is bending over, and it almost makes me feel sick watching her because she looks like she's going to get sick any minute. You give it everything you have. Rudyard Kipling said this, "If you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of long-distance run, yours is the earth and everything in it." The reason I liked the 400 was because that was the one that tested everything. It tested your endurance. It tested your mettle as a person. It tested your commitment. Well, our service to God is kind of like that, that unforgiving minute. There are times where you'll be miserable. There will be times where we'll be bewildered, wondering what hit us. There will be times where we are so tired that we can hardly even function. I was talking to Clay. I think I passed myself the other direction. I looked tired and old going that direction too. We get to that point sometimes. But when we talk about our spiritual life, we have to press on and finish that race. It is vital. And we're not going to do that unless we're serious. The reason AJ didn't run 4 years was because he wasn't serious the first 3 years. But in order to play basketball and football, you had to run track at the end of it. Well, your senior year, that's the last thing that comes. And so all the seniors drop out at that point. But he was not serious about that. And so he didn't do it. Becca was. And she enjoyed running. She didn't enjoy that race. But there was a difference between the two of them on that particular direction. Because one liked it and one didn't. Christianity is every day. Christianity is every minute of every day. And it will test your seriousness. It will test whether or not you really love God or not. There will be times where we feel like just, I don't want to say just throwing it all in, but there will be times where we feel like not acting like a Christian. When we're talking to somebody, we may just lose it for a moment. And we may just feel like somehow that's okay. It's not okay. Because those people that we influence have souls. What would happen if in a moment of unguarded whatever, somebody lost their best opportunity to be saved? And it was because we contributed to that. Sometimes our Christian life is like that unforgiving minute. It's got to be everything we've got. We may not feel like doing it, but we got to do it because lives are at stake. Not some ribbon at the end of a race, but a crown of life. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 23, if there's nothing that will make you more serious than this verse, then I don't think that there's anything that will really affect us. but It was a time when somebody came up to Jesus and they asked him the question, are only a few people going to be saved? One of the reasons I think that this is so important is because I believe that most people in the Christian world think that nearly everybody's going to be saved. I don't know where they get that. They don't get it from Christ. Because when they said, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? Jesus said to them, verse 24, Luke 13, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. Because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Now, in a world where everybody gets a participation ribbon, we might feel that this is not fair. Many will try, but they won't be able. Is somehow God unloving? Is he cruel? And the answer is no. It's because the requirement for a Christian is not to make effort or not to make great effort. The requirement for Christian service is to make every effort. It is everything we've got throughout our Christian service. We'll fail, but then we need to get back up and we need to give every effort after that. Jesus said when he was asked, are only a few people going to be saved? Or maybe I should say, rather than saying, oh, no, don't worry about that. Nearly everybody's going to be saved. Just the really bad are not going to be saved. That's what most people believe. Jesus instead said, make every effort. That shuts out a lot of people. I have noticed that most people are waiting for their ship to come in, but they want the captain to send a car for them, to take them out there. That's not the way life is. If you want something really great in life, you have to make a lot of effort. If we want something as great as heaven, it requires the best effort we've got. Every effort is the way Jesus said, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. There's one way, there's one door, and it's narrow. It is not to our detriment, it's for our benefit. It's a lot easier if I tell you, if you leave this building afterwards and you go out, if you go out the right door, you're going to get $1 million. Well, that begs the question, which is the right door? But if I say it's that door over there, and everybody who goes through it is going to be okay. You don't have to rush to it. Everybody who goes through it is going to be okay. Well, that helps you. It doesn't harm you. Jesus saying, make every effort to enter through the narrow door was not to be cruel. It was to be loving. It was to be kind. It was to be specific. And then he says this, once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, there's just certain time, isn't there? You will stand outside knocking and pleading. Notice how he said, some may stand outside knocking and pleading. Everybody that does not inherit salvation will be knocking and pleading. I think back to the flood and what it must have been like for those who finally dawned on them, this is serious. Maybe Noah had something going when he decided to build the ark. I wonder how many of them tried to save themselves. I don't know if they went to the ark or what they tried to do, but there are a lot of people who wanted to be saved, but only 8 were saved. Only the 8 who were obedient. Only the 8 who were obedient. Only those who go through the narrow door will be saved, and there's a moment where it's too late, and then everybody's going to crowd the narrow door. But the time is up. There's a time limit to this, 70, 80 years, whatever it is for us. They'll be pleading, sir, open the door for us, but he'll answer you, I don't know you or where you came from. Don't we sometimes associate certain virtues to God that are not really virtues, but we think they are? We think that he will not keep his word. We'll think that he'll allow the broad path to be okay. We think that he'll allow the wide gate to be okay. Most people in the religious world are banking their spiritual eternities on that, on God not being accurate or honest. What a foolish thing to be relying on. You'll say, we ate and drank with you, you taught in our streets, but he will reply, I don't know you or where you came from me. Away from me, all you evildoers, there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The reason that we need to be serious is we don't want to be outside, weeping and gnashing our teeth. The reason we need to be serious is we don't want our children to be outside, weeping and gnashing their teeth. The reason we need to be serious is because we don't want our family, our loved ones, our neighbors, or even somebody that we're just mildly acquainted with that we could help to be outside weeping and gnashing their teeth. But it will take us doing every effort to encourage them to begin to make every effort. It's still not enough, is it? We still have to have the grace of God to be saved. But our part, our end of the deal is every effort. And the only way we'll give that every effort, the only way that we'll run with everything we got that unforgiving minute is if we love God. And we're serious about our service to God. Are you serious about your service to God? The invitation's open. If anyone needs to respond to the gospel's call, won't you come and let us know while we stand and sing?